Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guests are Brett Weiler, Leslie Ridge Allen, and Nadine Schmitz from the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership. Thanks so much for joining us, guys. Brett, let's start with you. How did Erie Homecoming go, and were expectations met?
So I would say that we had extremely high expectations for Erie Homecoming 2019. And speaking for the staff, I can confidently say that we exceeded our expectations. We had about 300 individuals attend the event over the course of 2 days. Those attendees were a mix of individuals that live here currently, individuals that used to live here or had some tie to the community, and then we had a number of individuals visiting Erie for the first time. So we were very pleased with the turnout. I would say the composition of the attendees was also exactly what we were looking for. I would put them into three different categories. We had all of our most prominent and best community advocates here to share in the experience and to share all of the positive things that are happening in the community. We had a number of investors and real estate professionals and developers from all across the country that were here with a genuine interest in uncovering opportunities in Erie. We had representatives from the state government, the federal government, who were here looking at ways in which public funding and the public sector could support all of the positive initiatives that were happening in Erie. And then we had a number of, you know, policymakers and thought leaders that have been involved in the Opportunity Zone tax incentive or are involved in revitalizing communities like Erie. And so they were here, I think, to learn from us and to also share their experience and their wisdom with us to help us accelerate this momentum that we're experiencing. So all in all, the event, I think, really exceeded our expectations, and we're anxious to build on the momentum that we created those 2 days.
Can you comment on the energy and excitement levels of the people that attended?
Yeah, so I would say that we had two goals for the event, and the first was to really shatter some of the tired stereotypes about Erie. And I think there was a real thirst and hunger for those in attendance to participate in that storytelling, to convey to our visitors and our guests that while some of the stories that have been written in the past about Erie have some validity, some of the numbers, you know, the population decline and some of the jobs that we've lost are certainly realities, but there's another story to tell about Erie. And that this is a vibrant place, that this is a place on the move, that this is a place that is resilient and hunger to grow and to flourish. And so not only were we telling that stories, but our attendees in the audience were eager and anxious to share that story with the people they met throughout the 2 days as well. So it takes a village. You know, we definitely led the charge, but you know, leading up to the event, we wanted to ensure that our best and our brightest and our biggest advocates for Erie were in attendance, because we knew that those personal stories and those personal connections would also amplify that message that, you know, this is a place that is well positioned to reinvent and you know, reimagine, you know, what the community can and should be.
Brett, can you share feedback on the opportunity zones?
Yeah, so I would say that first I'll start with feedback from some of the folks that I would you know, call the thought leaders or the policymakers. We had a couple different groups in town that have been at the forefront of the Opportunity Zone tax incentive and also at the forefront of developing tools and ways in which communities like Erie can revitalize itself. And they, the consistent feedback that we received from them was that, you know, candidly, they had never been to a community that had embraced the opportunity to reinvest in itself and revitalize itself. They had never been in a community where they had seen such alignment between the public and the private and the philanthropic sectors. And they had never been a part of a conference that exuded so much energy and passion. When you tell people you're going to have an opportunity zone tax incentive conference, I think there's an expectation that we were going to look at financial pro formas and dig into tax law. But we didn't. You know, we opened up the conference with a performance from a local hip-hop artist who composed an original song about his experiences in Erie and his aspirations for Erie. And so I think that performance really set the tone for the two days. And the feedback we got from those policymakers and those folks visiting for the first time was extremely positive. And actually, you know, I think what they were hoping and what they're doing is actually taking what they learned in Erie and talking about that with other communities and how other communities can galvanize a community in the way that we did. So on the other front, investors, you know, I think the reality is that the investors and the potential developers see opportunity, but we are not quite there yet. The reality is that there is a skills gap in the market. Large catalytic development is very expensive. It's a very intensive process. It's a very complicated process. And so a lot of the projects that we featured are at a state where it's a really compelling idea. It's a really interesting vision. But investors don't invest in ideas. They invest in blueprints. And so it was affirmation for us and a recognition that we still have a ways to go, that we still really need to procure and deploy the technical assistance required to some of our project sponsors so that they can take their vision and move it along the continuum so that it is a truly investment-ready project. I will say that those investors and those developers are looking at ways in which they can help us do that, whether that's making connections with their professional network or sharing experiences from other communities. But the reality is, you know, a portion of our project portfolio is not quite investment ready, but we're determined to put the pieces in place so that when those investors come back the next time, that there's a real project that they can make a tangible investment into.
Brett, let's talk about key partners. Can you tell us about the Erie Insurance $50 million fund?
So one of the most, if not the most exciting development from Erie Homecoming this year was Erie Insurance announcement that they were capitalizing a $50 million Opportunity Zone fund. The first investment that they are making from that Opportunity Zone fund is approximately $3 million into the Downtown Development Corporation's North Park Row project. They aspire to develop a food hall and a culinary arts district. So that will be the first investment made by Erie Insurance. The $50 million Opportunity Zone Fund is designed to be deployed not only in Erie, but all markets in which Erie Insurance has a presence. But in conversations that we've had with leadership from Erie Insurance, I think for obvious reasons, they want to deploy a majority of that money into Erie. This is where their corporate headquarters is located. This is where they were born. You know, Tim Nicastro and Mr. Hagen obviously have great affinity for Erie. And so I think that they are determined to make investments into real estate projects in Erie But again, those investments or those projects, first and foremost, have to make economic sense. And then I think they also are equally as concerned as, you know, it has to be an investment that has a positive social impact on our community. So,
what about the Erie Innovation District?
So the Erie Innovation District also announced the formation of a $10 million Opportunity Zone fund in partnership with a group called CapZone out of Connecticut. I think this, as a quick sidebar, is really a testament to a lot of the work that a lot of people have put in leading up to this event. This connection, as I understand it, was made at an investment conference in Palo Alto, California, that a number of us were able to attend in the spring of this year. And so the proactive nature in which we've gone out and try to tell the Erie story and to convey to outsiders that there's real opportunity here in this market, I think you saw that bear some fruit with the announcement by the Erie Innovation District in a new partner in CapZone. That $10 million fund, as I understand it, is designed to attract technology companies to the Innovation District's Accelerator Program. The fund will be used to provide some type of seed funding upon their arrival and participation in the Accelerator Program, and then will also be deployed as follow-up funding contingent upon the company staying in Erie and growing their enterprise in Erie's Opportunity Zone districts. So two different investment thesis from Erie Insurance in the Innovation District. The Erie Insurance is focused on making investments in what I would call catalytic real estate development projects, whereas the Innovation District is looking to deploy that Opportunity Zone capital into operating businesses that are poised to scale and grow in Erie, Pennsylvania.
How do you keep interest level and momentum going for this project?
We put a lot of time and effort into the event itself, and admittedly spent less time thinking about the following day. But that following day and the days that have since passed are equally as important as those 2 days. And so what we've tried to do is, first and foremost, identify and understand who was in attendance. We know by looking at the registration that we really had three different types of people there. We had what I would call capital allocators, investors, wealth managers, bankers, individuals with high net worth, individuals in institutions in position to deploy capital. We also had what I would categorize as real estate professionals, whether they were brokers, developers, building owners, landowners, or provide some type of professional service in the real estate industry. And then lastly, we would have what I would call community advocates, elected officials, leaders of nonprofits, representatives from neighborhood organizations, etc. So what I've tried to do and what our team has tried to do is understand the specific messaging for each of those groups to keep them engaged after the event. What type of information do they want to see? How do they want to see it? And how do we keep them engaged year-round so that they're continuously looking at Erie as an opportunity for them to apply their craft and to make a difference. Moving forward, I think that we want to shift our thinking from Erie Homecoming being an event to it being more of a year-long effort to engage not only former Erie residents, but those individuals who are looking to make a difference in the community. How do we keep them engaged year-round? How do we share information that is helpful to them year-round, with the event being the culmination of a year-long effort of keeping them excited, keeping them engaged, keeping them apprised of different opportunities for them to invest in Erie.
Will there be an Erie Homecoming 2020?
I can't believe I'm saying this, but we've already started planning for Erie Homecoming 2020. Again, the event this year exceeded our expectations. The reality is we put together that event in about 5 months. Typically, I think an event at that scale and that scope and that ambitious takes a year to plan. And so slowly but surely, we've started to think about Erie Homecoming 2020, take care of some of the low-hanging fruit, if you will, securing a date, securing venues, thinking about the theme, and thinking about how we go to market to create as much excitement and participation as we had this year at next year's event.
Brett, thanks again for joining us. Any final thoughts?
So the one thing I had some clarity after Erie Homecoming was that in many ways the event was a finish line for a number of us that had prepared for that moment, whether that was cultivating our project portfolio, whether that was assembling the right partners to position Erie to attract investment. A lot of people worked really, really hard to get us to that moment. So there was a sense that it was a finish line in some way. But I think more so, it really is a starting line for us. We got everybody excited. We brought people to the market. We showed them that there's real opportunity here, not only financial opportunity, but the opportunity to make a difference in a community like Erie. Now the real hard work begins. The devil's in the details in these types of initiatives and spurring development and going through the development process. That's what we're focused on moving forward, is how do we capitalize that on excitement and turn it into real, tangible action so that next year we can share stories of success and say these projects have come to fruition and these companies have raised money to scale and grow their business in Erie.
Leslie, let's bring you in here. What is Manufacturing Awareness Month?
Manufacturing Awareness Month is really just an opportunity to raise awareness about the manufacturing industry in general. I know that in recent years, there's a misperception that there's been, a massive decline and things have fluctuated and changed. But what we've seen recently and through the Gartner Economic Report that came out is that advanced manufacturing is on the up and up, and that Erie County is really a ripe opportunity to have a lot of those companies move into advanced manufacturing. So really the Awareness Month is just an opportunity for us to highlight those businesses, talk about advanced manufacturing, and help the general public get an understanding of what's going on in the industry today and how that impacts our community.
How are organizations in Erie celebrating manufacturers?
Sure. So a lot of different organizations recognize Manufacturing Awareness Month. Obviously, the Manufacturers and Business Association has been doing a lot of programming. They had their big dinner this week. They had an awareness day where they did a lot of activities. But what we're just seeing is an increase in communication with our manufacturers. And at the Chamber, we're excited to be doing a couple different things to honor the longstanding history that manufacturing has had in our community.
Leslie, what is the Chamber doing to celebrate?
Sure. So the Chamber is recognizing our manufacturing members this month, and we're really excited to be hosting the first Manufacturers Business Walk this month as well. So on October 16th, we'll be getting together with a lot of our local economic development partners, with local and state representatives from different government entities and agencies, and we will be going out in conjunction with the Northwest Industrial Resource Center and doing a business walk to manufacturers in five different areas throughout the county and just get a sense of how business is going for them, what the climate is like, and determine how we can continue helping foster and create a positive business environment for them here in Erie.
Is that something you've done before?
So this is really the first time that the Chamber's taken this on, and we just felt like it was a great way to raise awareness about an industry that is the second industry in Erie County. It makes up 14 to 16% of our workforce, which is, I believe, almost twice the national average, which I think is around 7 or 8%. It's the second leading industry, just second to healthcare, which is number one in our community. So still a really valuable asset, and this is just one way that we hope to recognize the value that it brings to Erie, the value that it brings to the people who work in the industry, and what it means for our future.
What are the benefits of the business walk?
Sure. So the benefit to a business walk really is for the business owner. It's an opportunity to do a couple things. It allows them to FaceTime directly with a lot of the local elected officials, countywide elected officials, and just share their candid insight to what's making business go really well or barriers that they're encountering. And they don't have that chance often to step outside the business and have those conversations. So we love the fact that the Chamber is able to play that role in directly facilitating that conversation. The hope, obviously, that the elected officials can take that information and use it to shape policy or different legislation that they propose, or just kind of have in their back pocket as knowledge to take back to Harrisburg, or to take back, you know, to the different federal government agencies that work closely with the manufacturing industry. The other opportunity is that it gives us as a chamber to just listen. Again, hear the things that are going well and maybe some roadblocks that they're encountering and determine if there's a way that we can knock those barriers down for them or accelerate their growth. So we see it as a huge business opportunity for the companies located here in Erie and a really quick way that they are able to have those candid conversations and highlight what they need and give us that opportunity to support them.
How are business walks shaping the community?
So business walks, in our experience this year, are really starting to shape the ability to collaborate with our different strategic partners in the economic development system to identify themes. So what are things consistently that, regardless of industry, regardless of location, regardless of size, the businesses who operate here within Erie County are experiencing? So it's allowing us to get really strategic with our resources. It's allowing us to get creative with the solutions that we're presenting forward for businesses and just giving us an opportunity to really have that consistent pulse on the business community. For the public, you know, kind of at large, the ability that for us to keep that pulse on the business community means better opportunities for employment, you know, being able to project out into the future of what our workforce is going to look like, what opportunities there may be for them to make a lateral move in their own careers. So just creates more of an all-around encompassing look at business in Erie, regardless if you're the owner or if you're the person working for these companies. I think on both sides you want to see that success, and these business walks really allow us to play in both worlds, if you will, and understand what's happening.
How can companies participate in business walks?
Sure. So we often do business walks by sector or by location. So if any business at any time is interested in having representatives from the local economic development system or the local elected officials come take a look at what they're doing, they're more than welcome to reach out to the business action team here at the Chamber, and we're happy to facilitate that participation in the future business walks that we do.
Leslie, can you tell us more about the business walk occurring on the 16th?
Sure. So the business walk on October 16th is our first business walk that we'll be doing to recognize the manufacturing industry here in Erie. We're really excited to say that we have confirmation from the county executive. So Kathy Dahlkemper will be joining us. Mayor Schember will be joining us. Representative Mirsky will be joining us, as well as a few other state representatives, and State Senator Dan Laughlin will be joining us. So we're thrilled that we have this opportunity to bring so many levels of local government together at one time to go out and visit with these businesses here in Erie and give them a chance to really hear from a lot of the large employers in their districts and their constituents about things that are happening and how they can continue to elevate any of those issues at the state and local level.
Leslie, thanks again for joining us. Nadine, let's bring you in here. Do you have a message for everyone involved with Erie Homecoming?
Yeah, we could have never pulled off that event. Number one, with our team. Our team was outstanding, I have to say. But also we had a lot of volunteers that helped us throughout those 2 days and leading up to those 2 days, be it, you know, facilitating venues or logistics. I mean, we had buses involved and, you know, all there was just so many moving parts. And, you know, the production of it all was, you know, Almy Kirkland, and, you know, we want to thank her. So we want to thank our volunteers that helped us with the Erie Homecoming event for 2019, and also all the sponsors that we had. You know, they really kicked in and really helped make that event a financial success for us.
And you've rescheduled your annual meeting, right?
Yeah, so we have rescheduled our annual meeting, and it will take place on December 12th. That's a Thursday. We'll have it in the morning, and all the details will be sent to the membership very, very soon. This is an annual meeting of the membership where there'll be an agenda. We'll vote in officers and potential new board members for 2020 and beyond. So there'll be some business at hand, and we're just finalizing a venue for that this week, and we'll make that announcement very soon. But the date again is December the 12th, and that's a Thursday.
Nadine, what about the Celebration of Excellence?
Yeah, so we split that from so the past couple years, probably 3 years, we actually held those two events, the annual meeting and Celebration of Excellence, on the same day, different times of day, you know, one in the morning, one in the evening or afternoon and evening. But we're separating those out this year. So we'll have the annual meeting, as I said, in December. The Celebration of Excellence, we've rescheduled to March of 2020.
And the job bank just continues to grow, right?
Yeah. I just want to, you know, point out that we have this job bank. It's free for our members to list the opportunities that they have in their organizations for employment. All they need to do is log in and fill in the online form. It's pretty simple. And then not only can they look at and view the folks that have applied for those positions, but they can also pull up the resumes, because our folks that are looking for a job, the applicants actually upload their resume through our system within the website. So I feel underutilized. I wish more people would use it. You know, I look at the paper all the time and I see, you know, I see the postings in there about available positions. And I'm encouraging our membership to use that job bank. Again, it's free and it's for members only. So it's an exclusive benefit of your membership. And yeah, use it.
Nadine, thanks again for joining us. Any final thoughts on anything we touched on here today?
Yeah, we continue to ask folks also, you know, check out our calendar of events. We've got our monthly Connect for Coffee events. We've got our monthly Business After Hours events. And we encourage folks to register for those and show up. And because our host businesses put a lot of thought and effort into, you know, what happens that day when you come and visit their facility or their place of business, to make you feel welcome and give you the information that you need to know more about them, which is one of the reasons our members host these events. You know, they want to kind of get the word out there about what it is that they do and what they have to offer the business community.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard Fridays at 12:30 p.m. Join us again next week as Logistics Plus is in the Business Spotlight.